Hi, you're tuning in to Awani Review with me, Sintium. On this episode, we have Infinitium, which is an e-payment solutions company from Malaysia, but serving over 180 million people in this region. Now, if you have made any online purchases through either credit card or debit card, chances are you have used their services. So what exactly does Infinitium do? Let's bring in the founder and CEO, Mr. Ho Ching Wee. Great to have you back on Awani Review. Really excited to know what you guys are up to now, but for the benefit of audience who have never heard of you guys before, give us a brief background on what you guys are doing.
Good morning, Cynthia. Welcome to our office. And it has been a privilege servicing the payment industries over the last 20 years. Infinitium is in the business of providing payments and authentication solutions for banks. As you rightfully point out, we have about 50 over banking customers across the regions. And out of these 50 customers, in total, we're about close to 180 million base. So anytime these card holders do a transaction online, be it a credit card, debit card from Visa, Master, Amex, JCBs, UnionPay, and UnionPay cards, we'll be the one processing the payment authentications. So you could be receiving a dynamic authentication in the form of OTP by USSD or SMS from our platform. And we've been doing this for the last 10 years, providing online authentication for the banks.
But you started business about 20 years ago in 1997. So, but when you started, it was not this model. It was entirely different. When you first started, you had something else in mind. And
okay, so when we first started, internet was just at the infancy. People was using internet purely for checking emails. World Wide Web just got started. You don't have all this Amazon and whatnot reaching here, and definitely Taobao and whatnot wasn't born at that time, right? So when we started, we were purely focusing on enabling businesses to go online, right, by connecting them to the internet, helping them set up their web server for them to have a website. So as it evolved, after having a website, the next thing that they want is, how do I make a transaction online? And that's where the payments comes in. And initially, our business revolved around online payments for merchants, for businesses. But as our business progressed, we moved to pivot towards banking and payments for the banks, for the payment industries in specific. So today, I would say close to 70% of business revolve around enabling the banks, giving them technologies and solutions for them to complete the payment cycles. The other 30-40% still on the merchant side, where we enable very large merchants, from airlines to telcos to utilities to online travel agencies, with the payment capabilities.
So you guys are very much behind the scene, dealing with payment gateways on authentication. Well, last we spoke, I think you were in a number of countries, and but you have grown quite substantially since last year.
Yes.
Tell us about the growth that you've seen in this region, particularly if you look at the growth of e-commerce. I believe for Infinitium, the growth runs parallel to the growth of e-commerce, right?
Yep. So actually, for the last 5 years, year on year, we've been growing from a revenue perspective, 30-odd% year on year. From a transaction volume perspective, it depends on regions. Some regions like Indonesia, we are seeing close to 50% year on year growth. And for international region, because we have expanded to a few other countries, India, Hong Kong, we have also seen close to 80% year on year growth in terms of our transaction volume, partially because of a new entry into the market. For countries like Malaysia, year on year growth has been very promising. I think we saw a 60% growth for Malaysia market on e-commerce, mobile commerce, year-on-year growth. So yeah, we are riding the wave as Malaysian or the user in this region adopt mobile commerce, adopt e-commerce. But as you rightfully point out, we are the man behind the scenes. A lot of users actually use part of our technology, but they don't realize it, but it's okay. We are happy with where we are by providing the underlying path, the underlying connectivities to enable online payments with security and authentications.
Speaking of authentication, I think when we spoke a year ago, you said that you're keeping a close eye on biometrics as the next big phase when it comes to payment authentication methods. So let's talk about that. Are we seeing more banks migrating to biometric authentication right now?
Okay, so last year when we talked, I shared with you that the industries are moving into a new standard called 3DS 2.0. So as a quick recap, we have been doing 3DS 1.0 for the past 15 years. And this standard was developed by Visa. Visa called it 3D, verified by Visa, MasterCard called it Secure Code, MX called it SafeKey, and so on. What happened about 3 years ago, the global scheme, Visa, Master, MX, and all the global schemes, they decided to move these standards under the global umbrella of EMV Co. EMV Co is the global non-profit organization that handle the global standards for all these payment technologies. So under EMV Co, they then develop 3DS2. So part of the 3DS2 capabilities is to introduce this concept called frictionless authentications. So if you look back how it transformed, is we are seeing consumer changing their behavior, changing their buying patterns. Instead of relying so much on a PC or browser-based, more and more of them are moving towards mobile, right? Now, with mobile, it's a very personal device. Unlike a PC, where you potentially share with other people, you know, you could be using it in a cyber cafe, you could be using it at home and multiple people using it. A mobile device are very personal. You are the only consumer who use it. Now, as you start using mobile device, there are also a lot more data that we are able to tie it down to a particular user, because you don't, you know, the device is personal. So what the global scheme and even EMV Co is saying is, if we are able to tell that this device is the same owner is using it from the same proximity, buying almost the same products, can we reduce the frictions by using technologies such as risk-based authentication? So we look at your device ID, we look at your patterns, your behavioral, and then from there, we can then decide to put, we can then put a score, how risky is this transaction based on your patterns, and then whether we can then decide whether should we do a step-up authentication. So what you're gonna see here is two form of authentication that's evolving. With this additional data that we're receiving and the smartphone and all this mobile device, we could be going through a frictionless authentication if this card holder had been using the same device, buying from the same merchants. So you won't be getting an OTP for all this, all right?
So it's entirely biometric. It could be fingerprint.
So in that case, it's not even biometric at all. In that case, it's what we call risk-based authentications.
Okay.
So we base on your device, we base on your behavioral patterns, then we came up with a scoring. All right. So a bit of machine learning behind the scenes. Based on this, we could say that 95% we are quite sure Cynthia is the one who has been using the same device, buying from this merchant, therefore your risk score is lower. Now in this case, the bank don't even need to send you a OTP because we already verify you through all these parameters which we call RBA, risk-based authentication. That's one leg of it. The second leg of it is, let's say we are not able to detect your device is the same device. You could be you just change a phone, or you could be buying from a browser and whatnot. Now, instead of sending you OTP, which is still a valid method of authentication, if we recognize that your phone has a biometric capabilities, now the bank can also opt in for a alternative authentication using your fingerprint, your facial as a form of authentication. So we are moving from single factor, which is ID, password, or in this case, card number, expiry date, CVV, to two-factor, which is card number, CVV, expiry date, and your OTP, to multi-factor, where the bank can now decide to do a risk-based authentication, RBA, to do a biometrics, and within biometrics, the bank can decide whether to do a fingerprint, a facial, or it can be stepping back to the original, which is SMS OTP.
So added layer of authentication, but ability to reduce transaction time.
Yes, okay. That's the whole idea.
In Malaysia, let's talk about how are we progressing towards that. Are we there already? Where do we stand?
Okay, so from a technology framework, it's there. As of today, we already have three banks migrated to IMS 3DS2, mm-hmm. right? We are in the pipeline to migrate all the remaining banks in Malaysia. And in Malaysia, we have 15 banks mm-hmm. on our platform by April 2020. So in the next 5 months, you can see all these banks migrated to the new 3DS2 framework. So under this new 3DS2 framework, the bank will have the technology capabilities to offer biometrics. However, it will still take some time for the bank to decide which type of biometric authentication they want to adopt. Some banks are still taking a cautious approach because biometric has its challenges because it depends so much on the
device that you use, right?
So some cardholder may use a higher-end device where the sensitivity are much more better. Some mm-hmm. cardholder may be buying different models with different sensitivity. So there are still a big variance in terms of the accuracy and the sensitivity. So some of the banks are taking quite a cautious approach mm-hmm. to this. However, I believe it's just a matter of time when we see more and more of the banks adopt it, I think the rest of the industry will just follow.
So from a user perspective, will I notice any changes? And I guess more importantly, if you say you can reduce transaction time and I guess reducing cost in that sense, how does it benefit the end user?
Okay, so to the end user, the user experience is quite minimal. All right, you'll be still doing the transaction as what you have been doing all this while. The only difference here is if you have been using mobile devices, you may see that some of these transactions you don't receive an OTP anymore. Mm-hmm. But behind the scene, the authentication is still happening. Right. So now what our role, our job is to communicate to the consumer to say that although you never receive an OTP,
It's fine.
Don't because
panic.
Behind the scene, we are still doing a form of authentication using risk-based authentication. So we're using machine learning, we're using AI technology to determine whether you are the same person without asking the consumer to receive an OTP and enter OTP. All right, so that's one important step. So from a consumer perspective, you will see a frictionless, reduce of frictions. There's no added cost. As of today, when you use your cards to buy things online, there's no added cost to it. Mm-hmm. So the same thing going to happen when you move to 3DS2. Consumer is not paying for this. The banks are actually paying for this as part of their authentication frameworks. So from a consumer level, there's not much change. All the major changes are behind the scene at the merchant level, at the bank level. So now, for the merchant level, in order for their cardholder, for their buyer to experience frictionless, the merchant will need to send more data. Previously, the merchants are only sending transaction date, amount, and a bit of a product details. Not much. Yeah. So basically, they just send this view and the card numbers. Now, in order for merchant to encourage the customer with a frictionless, there are about 70 additional data points. So what are these data points? Some of these data points are your device IDs, your locations, the merchant profiling of you, whether you are a repeat customer, whether you are a member of these merchants. So some of this profiling will be added into the EMV code 3DS2 message format. Now, from a data privacy and security perspective, I know
my next question.
A lot of people will worry about that. So you have to understand what the merchant is sending is anonymized data. Right. So it doesn't send your name, it doesn't send your date of birth, doesn't send your ICs and whatnot. So from what we use those data are purely for payment risk and security scoring.
Right.
It's not a data that pinpoint down to that, this is Cynthia and all those. So it's anonymized data.
Okay.
Yeah. And more importantly, the banks do not use this data to resell to third party. Right. So all these data are purely used for risk scoring. And once it's done the risk scoring, all this data will be purged, right? So yeah, back to merchants. These are some of the additional works that the merchant may need to do.
Are they ready, merchants?
Okay, so what we are seeing is in the US and Europe, they have a lot of merchants. If you buy from iTunes, you buy from Amazon, you notice that they never ask for OTP. Because for the longest time, the merchant in US and Europe, they have not been doing 3DS1. The
right.
reason is okay. The banks in US, they are not ready with 3DS1. You know, that's a funny thing. They although it's a global standard, but US have a slightly different standards. So with 3DS2, we are seeing this very large merchant from US, they are adopting to 3DS2. All right. So hopefully very soon when you buy your iTunes, your Amazon, your Skype top-up and whatnot, you're going to see 3DS2 transaction coming
in. So the body that will regulate this is EMV?
Co. Yeah.
And this body comprises of?
This body comprises of the world's largest stakeholders in the payment industry. So the global scheme, Visa, Master, Amex, JCB, UnionPay are all in there. All the largest payment processors, all the largest gateways, a lot of central banks, a lot of manufacturer of payment equipments, technology provider like us are also a member. So Infinitium is a business associate as well as a technical associate of EMV Co. So as a business associate, basically it gives us an opportunity to be a thought leaders where we are able to participate in the EMV Co. When they form up all these global standards, we will be able to get firsthand information in terms of the roadmaps, what they plan to do. As a technical associate, it actually gives us a voice in terms of how the new specs, when they form out new specs, we actually can share our voice, our opinions, what it could be applicable in the local space or in this region. Because we have to bear in mind, this is a global association. A lot of times when they create standards, it's more global. So we always think global, but act local. So our role here is we need to understand what is happening in the global scales, but how can we adopt it into a locally among the banks in these regions. So as a technical associates, it gives us an opportunity to share our voices in terms of, yeah, you have created this global standard, but can you also add in certain components that is applicable
to the local audience?
Correct.
Now, you talked about piracy earlier, but I'd like to talk about payment fraud because with the increase of increasing digital adoption, online payment fraud cases are only set to increase, right? And with more sharing of data. So let's talk about some of the most common types of online fraud cases here, because you are also in the security segment.
Yes.
Talk to us about the trends and how does Infinitium come in to prevent it?
Okay, so if you look at fraud, payment fraud, it's a cat and mouse game. All right. As we add a new technology, a new countermeasures, the fraudsters, the syndicates will always look for another loopholes. So in the past, when you talk about, say, 10 years ago, before 3DS came about, where 10 years ago when transaction happens online, typically we just need card number, expiry date, CVV. So how does the fraudsters take advantage of this? Because there's no authentications, they will do skimming, they will do phishing. So they ask for your card number, their expiry date, they can even do a social engineering, ask for your mother's maiden names and whatnot. When about 10 years ago, when we implement 3DS1 with dynamic OTP, we basically solve that part of the problem where consumer, the syndicate will not be able to just steal your card number and charge your card, because there will be an OTP sent to your phone, and if they cannot get hold of your OTP, they cannot transact.
Right.
Of course, fraud still happens once in a while where the syndicate actually contacted the customers and camouflage or say that they are from the bank and ask the card holder to give them the OTP. So the attack still happening, but it's a very targeted. And if the consumer never share out the OTP, their card will never be charged. So the banks also have been educating the customer, do not share your OTP. We're also seeing another type of fraud where they call it a SIM card takeover. All right. This, so far, that have not happened in Malaysia, but we have saw it in Indonesia, we have saw it in Singapore, where they actually go to the telco and replace the SIM card of the card holder. So what they did was they called the customer and they said they are from the telco, and they tell the customer, your SIM card has a problem, your SIM card will not be working for the next half an hour. And actually they are at the telco, they replace that SIM from the telco, so they then now have the SIM. So when the bank send the OTP, we actually send it to SIM card. We can't tell whether the SIM card is replaced. So there have been a small pocket of cases with this called SIM card takeover. There's another form of attack that we saw recently is SMS takeover. So how does SMS takeover? When you download the apps from the phone, certain apps are able to intercept your SMS, your incoming SMS. So instead of the SMS arriving in your inbox of your message apps, it actually has been hijacked by these apps. And these apps will now send this incoming SMS, which can be a form of OTP, to the syndicate.
How does one prevent from falling victim to such scams?
So when you download apps, please be mindful. When certain offer is too good to be true, when people are telling you you can buy an iPhone for 100 ringgit by downloading these apps, or you download certain apps and you get free movies and free goodies and whatnot, be mindful whether there are any malware or Trojan horses inside these apps.
Okay.
So some of these are happening, and that's why the EMV codes are also seeing this threat. And one of the ways to counter some of this threat is by moving to 3DS 2.0 by doing what we call risk-based authentication. So as part of risk-based authentication, we are actually looking for whether you have any Trojan horses in your apps, whether the behavior have changed, right, and things
what
like
is
that.
The adoption like for 3DS 2.0 globally, and where do we stand in Asia?
Okay, so globally, the scheme, Visa, Masters, and they have set a global deadline.
Okay.
The deadline for Visa is April 2020. So in 5 months' time, the liability shift will kick in. So what does liability shift means? Means after April 2020, if merchants were to call 3DS2, and if the issuer is not ready, the issuer have to take the liability. So what this means is the issuer have to make sure that their system is ready before April 2020. Because after that date, they have no more protections if they don't have 3DS2. So that's why we are seeing a race among all the issuers globally. April 2020 is a global date. Of course, certain countries has a slightly different rate, but in Asia-Pac, April 2020 is the rate. So can you imagine with 50 over customers and all of them are rushing to the same goal line?
So are banks moving fast enough to meet this deadline?
Actually, we started this initiative last year as a part of our initial first interview. They have been embarking on this. The good news is we already have 3 banks went live. And now every week as we speak, more banks have been turned on. So that by April 2020, 5 months' time, we expect all our banks to be on 3DS2. So from a consumer perspective, once the issuer is ready, the 180 million card base that we have, they will be ready to do 3DS2.
So there's no changes on the consumer side?
No changes on the consumer side. You don't have to download any new things. You don't have to inform the banks or anything. So naturally, when the merchants are calling 3DS2, this backend, this 3DS2 framework, the specs will kick in.
Okay.
So from a consumer, not much different. The only thing, as I mentioned, is now the user will have more choice, whether it could be a risk-based, it could be a biometrics, or it could be still back to SMS if the banks are not willing
ready.
Ready to do biometric yet. But it's still on a 3DS2. Yeah.
Okay. In that case, how are you building that capacity to meet this increased demand from banks in the 9 countries that you operate in?
Yeah, so what keeps us very busy is as the volume increase year on year, and you know, recently we just have the 11/11 sales, we are seeing a tremendous jump of transaction compared to last year as well. So on our side, we are increasing our capacity. We have invested 4 times more capacity compared to 2 years ago. So today we have 400 times more capacity to handle. At the same time, as we migrate to 3DS2, we are also doing what we call a hardware refresh. A lot of our infrastructure has been updated to have hyper-converged capabilities where we are able to scale up very fast compared to previously, you know, we need to procure additional hardware and the time to increase our capacity can be easily between 2 weeks to a month. Today, we're able to scale up in a matter of hours. So as the load increase, we are able to turn on our volumes. So we're doing all that across all the 4 data centers that we have. So we are in Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, and India.
Okay.
So these four data centers are servicing these 50 banks across the region.
Which areas are keeping you most busy at this point in time?
Indonesia is keeping us quite busy. Today in Indonesia, we have about 25 banks. And in Indonesia, we are also deploying their domestic authentication called B-Secure. So, and the Indonesia volume is continuing to register a pretty high volume. The other country that is very exciting for us is back here in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. Recently, we have been awarded a national authentication framework to build the domestic debit transaction for the country. So what this means is, today, in a Malaysian payment landscape report released by central banks, they talk about every 2 out of 3 consumer in Malaysia has a debit card. And on average, 63% of these card holders are using their debit card to buy online for cashless transaction. So this represents quite a big chunk. When this debit card holder buy online today, it goes through quite an old platform using internet banking. Right? So customer has to have an internet banking account, and when you transact, you'll be redirected right. from a merchant to this payment switch to the bank. And depend on consumer under which bank, the consumer experience may be different because different banks use a different authentication methods, authentication screen. So there's no uniformity, and on top of that, there's many redirection which resulted in shopping cart drop, payment failures. So what we are doing here is we're building this framework as a national authentication framework where all the transactions will be routed through a common specs, common flow.
Okay.
And the advantage here is if the customer doesn't have an internet banking account, it will still work. So it doesn't rely on the internet banking infrastructure, it relies on a card's infrastructure. And with this framework, we are on the first phase right now. The first phase involves design, consultancy, and overall architecture of this framework for the whole country. We are in the midst of phase one right now. We should be completing by next month. And after the phase one, we'll be going to stage two, where we develop the whole applications for the national switch. And once that happens, consumer in Malaysia will start to be able to use their debit card online, just like how they use Visa, Masters. But right now, you'll be routed to a local switch here. So you're gonna start seeing this, we should be able to go live by Q3 next mm-hmm. year. That's also keeping us busy in Malaysia.
Thank you so much,
Mr.
Ho, for your time. And sounds like you have very exciting plans ahead. All the best to you.
Thank you.
All right.